Welcome back to AOA, ladies and gentlemen. Over the past year, we've been checking in on a regular basis with our friends from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And it seemed like almost every month when we talked to them, sales were strong, values were high, demand was good. It looked like 2022 was going to be a very strong year for meat exports. And now that we're getting to the close of it, we're starting to see that final data come in. Now it's safe to say we've got a couple of records in the protein space in 2022. Joining us now to talk about this and celebrate some of the movement we had in 2022 is Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, whether it's beef or pork, demand was strong this past year, wasn't it?
It sure was, Mike, and good morning. Thank you for having me. Yeah, the November data came in and the trend lines continue. Starting with beef, we're down slightly in November, but we did establish a record for the year, only through 11 months through November. And once again, some pretty strong broad-based growth, Korea, China, Hong Kong, the ASEAN region with the Philippines and Vietnam. And similar to previous months on beef, we're establishing these records with our largest market, Japan, actually being down a bit. And once again, as I mentioned a month ago, this probably has a lot to do with the strong currency, which devalued to the extent of 40% last November. So the fact that your largest market can be off a bit and you're still setting records, I think, is a really good indicator going forward.
Dan, that's a really good point. And as we think about that Asian region that you highlighted, of course, China's been grappling with COVID here over the past few months. Have we seen that impact their purchases of fresh protein?
You know, it's definitely impacted protein purchases at food service. Food service has absolutely been decimated on again, off again, as far as starting back up. And the zero COVID policy is just been a mess. That being said, the retail and online business has been booming. And as you've seen over the past 7-8 months, the beef business and now the pork business as well is starting to come back into China. And one thing for your listeners that's changed is that in December, and of course we don't have December data yet, but in December the Chinese announced the lifting of the zero COVID policy. While this is a really good sign, a little more medium and long term for increased demand potential for beef in particular, it is a really dire situation over there right now on the health system. I mean, there's tens of thousands of cases of COVID. The health systems are being stretched to the limit. So it's not the best situation at the moment, but this will equilibrate and they'll get it under control. And the fact that the announcement was made to lift the zero COVID policy and basically allow people to try to get back to normal, eventually when the dust settles, this will help demand for us later in 2023.
All right. You highlighted there, Dan, Korea. I also understand Vietnam, the Philippines, they have been aggressive buyers of beef off and on in 2022. Did that continue on into November?
It did. Yeah. Philippines and Vietnam were up big. In fact, percentage-wise, our largest growth of any of the markets in the month of November. We had the Philippines up doubling, actually, and the Vietnam volume tripled up to about 1,300 tons from the previous year. So while the numbers are small, the percentage growth rates are big in some of these newer, less established markets. So and I have to say on the pork side as well, we saw some growth out of the same region, the Philippines in particular. Mexico continues to be the story on pork. We had an extremely big November on pork. Up 3%, but one of the largest months, it is the largest month of the year in 2022, was in November across a variety of markets. So, a pretty good situation. As we thought, the pork situation would rebound, and we've been seeing that since about September.
Dan, this massive growth in exports into Mexico on the pork side, was that something that USMEF was planning for, or was this a shock that kind of caught us a little off guard?
Well, I don't think it's a shock that the volumes were going there on the large percentage is hams. There's also a lot of shoulder meats that go in there and variety meats. What surprised us was the value. It wasn't too long ago, just a few years ago, anytime ham price would go over 70 or 80 cents, it would slow down demand. That was not the case this year. We had several months where the prices were well over a dollar, and the demand just kept going. So, you know, I think there's some factors at play there. You know, of course, the high-path avian influenza situation is affecting North America. But even with that, demand was very solid for U.S. pork, and Mexico is turning into an extremely reliable buyer. The other thing to remember about Mexico is the Asian currencies were devaluing for most of last year. Mexico actually did not. So the Mexican peso has been in that 19 to 20 peso per dollar range the entire year. I think that's just a testament to the fact that the economy is pretty solid. The North American economy has been pretty solid compared to maybe some of the other parts of the world.
Dan, you know, the other parts of the world, of course, when we're thinking pork, oftentimes we talk Asia, but I want to continue the focus right here in the Western Hemisphere, because the Dominican Republic continues to be a huge buyer of pork as they grapple with African swine fever. How did their total imports look so far through November?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We're at 10,000 tons, in the month of November. Year to date, we're up 42%, 76,000 tons versus 53,000 a year ago. So there is no doubt that they need to fill the void with imports, and the U.S. is the logical partner. So, needless to say, that's been a very good market. It's been a very good market for a long time, but it's jumped, obviously, with their situation locally with ASF.
It has been. And Dan, you said something there that has got me wondering. The U.S. is the logical place to purchase pork for both Mexico, for the Dominican Republic, for really any place in the Western Hemisphere. But when you have a country like the DR grappling with a herd health issue, are they importing pork from any other place as well? Are they going global in their pork needs?
I think they are. They're importing from places besides just the U.S., but when you look at the supply chain is set up in such a way that the U.S. has a lot of advantages, not only advantages in terms of geographic location, but in terms of getting chilled product down there, as well as frozen product. It's just the overall situation favors the U.S. versus importing from, you know, a place like Brazil or a place such as Europe. So we do have competitors there, but we have the lion's share of the business for those reasons.
Dan, before we let you go, I did want to talk. We've talked the records here in the beef value. We've talked records in pork volume. We've also got very, very strong export sales happening in the lamb market. Do you have those details handy?
Yeah, the lamb business continues to see growth on the muscle meats. The leaders there, of course, are the Caribbean as well as Mexico, but Canada, you've got Taiwan, you've got even Japan taking a little bit more. It's very low numbers, but there is growth. So, I think when you look at telling the story of U.S. lamb, it's much different than our global competitors in terms of, high-value grain-fed lamb. It takes a bit of work because the prices are not the lowest. They are higher, but also the eating experience is much higher as well. So we've seen some success, and like I said, there's some upward potential there as well as we go forward.
Well, going forward, Dan, I understand we've also signed an agreement here with the EU on their tariff rate quotas. This is something that I know you were a part of negotiating here 2 years ago. Does this open up some more export potential into Europe in 23?
Yeah, it potentially could. I think this will be a modest change. That we knew this was coming. This basically takes into account the fact that the UK left the EU, and we're just now getting around to shifting some of the quotas. So on the good news side, there is a larger portion of the pork quota shift from the EU to the UK. This is good for us because a lion's share of the pork business, it's not big, but the business that we do over there is mainly to the UK. So this could potentially help us. Also, the shift from the EU to the UK and the Hilton quota, the Hilton quota has a 20% duty. It really has nothing to do with the U.S. deal that was done several years ago. for the zero quota duty. So it doesn't impact that. In fact, looking to the future, you could make the argument that the UK, we could use some zero quota access to the UK in the future.
Well, hopefully those negotiations will begin shortly. Folks, we have been talking with Dan Hallstrom, the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Anytime, Mike.